Hi, this is Dave Saunders, and I'm pleased to present this special recording of the Sunday Night Wellness Call. On this evening, we explore the events and processes which can occur in the body as it works to restore, protect, and defend itself from the effects of injury and disease. Nutritional supplements are not intended to treat, cure, or mitigate disease, but rather are intended to provide the necessary and essential raw materials of life to each and every cell of the body. When provided, these raw materials allow your own cells to perform their genetically programmed duties so you can enjoy the fruits of your own potential for optimal health. If you'd like to know more, you can contact me through www.glycowellness.com. I hope you enjoy this vital information.
And for people joining us, this is the Sunday Night Wellness Call, and this is Dave Saunders, and I'm joined tonight with Susan Alexander. And what I did want to talk about tonight is kind of this elusive concept of detox or correcting crisis, or I guess there are lots of different terms for it. And the big question, of course, is, obviously, what is it, but what kinds of processes are affected by it? And maybe we could back up a little bit and just maybe talk about, what is the natural state of the body? I mean, what should the body be doing, and how does that relate to this whole detoxing thing?
Is that a question that I'm supposed
to
answer?
Probably too much of a question there, so I guess let's start at the first thing. what does detox mean in the first place?
Okay. Actually, it is a normal maintenance process of the body. Our body has toxins that it produces on its own that are the natural waste products of metabolism. Nutrients come into the cells. Things are made by the cells. Energy is used by the cells, and all these processes produce waste. We can't do much of anything without producing waste ourselves. You know, that's why we have so much trash going up our house all the time. And the same thing is true with the body. So the ability of the body to get rid of waste products is a natural, continuous process that is supposed to be going on. And we have actually a natural protection against the damage that those waste products can cause, because many of them are what we call free radicals. They are thieving compounds that actually do damage to the cells by stealing oxygen molecules, usually, from our cells. And so our own waste products can actually do that. That's one reason why it's so important for us to get adequate water and the omega-3 fatty acids, and be sure we're getting enough water-soluble fiber into our system so we can regularly get these out. Also, the free radical damage is the body protects itself against that with a compound from the liver called glutathione. And unfortunately, there is some significant research that is saying the average person's glutathione levels, that's produced by the liver, are diminishing in kind of across the board. And so we have less and less of an ability to protect ourselves against our own waste products. Also, the glyconutrient antennae, which we've talked about before, are responsible for signaling that these toxins need to go out. And if we don't have enough of those glyconutrients provided to make the right antenna, then we can't get rid of those waste products the way we were supposed to. Even people who impose detoxifications upon the body can only do so much, because all that is doing is stimulating the body's own natural processes that it uses every day to get rid of toxins. And if the cells cannot communicate that need, it's going to be only a minimum stimulation that can occur. I actually had a lady who went to three different detox centers, places where they actually helped impose the cleansing process on the body, pushing it with herbs and hydrotherapy and all these different other things. And she spent like $16,000 doing it. And then she came back and she said, okay, I am ready now to get started with the nutrients that my body needs. because I'm all cleaned out. And she called me back about 2 weeks later, very upset, because she said her body was cleansing more than it ever had at any of those centers. Well, it's because her body had the communications ability to make it happen. This is how it's supposed to be going on all the time anyway. Now, there are two other problems, however, that compound this issue. We're already not as able as we should to get rid of toxins just from natural, healthy metabolism. But if we have a disease process going on, we are producing what are sometimes called the waste products of disease. This means we may be producing more of certain toxins than we usually would under healthy conditions. And also, we often are producing toxins that our body doesn't usually have to deal with, and we can produce some of these in really large amounts. In fact, the body may be able to may be unable to get rid of them properly as part of a disease. There are certain conditions in which we just simply can't get rid of waste products the way we should, and the body needs help in repairing the parts of the body that are responsible for getting rid of them. And so they build up in the bloodstream or in the lymph or in the muscles, and that compounds the disease process. In fact, many of the symptoms of a disease are caused by the waste products building up in the body that they can't get rid of. So we got that second source of toxins. And, the body that is already unable to properly and adequately get rid of the waste products of healthy condition certainly is not going to be in a position to get rid of the waste products of disease when it's compounded on top of it. So when you think about that, you know, our body is really being put in a very problematic situation. And again, these are free radicals, many of them, and they do a lot of damage to our own self. And you can very quickly see how this can snowball into a terrible situation. The third source we have of toxins, of course, is a very heavy burden that we are now experiencing from our environment. Synthetic chemicals that the body was never, intended to produce. We don't make these synthetic chemicals ourselves. They are totally different from the natural compounds that may come into our body different ways by breathing or drinking or eating or things that come through our skin. And they are of particular concern. Many researchers, including the EPA, have made this a priority to study because they have become very aware that this is having a tremendous impact on our environment, the animals and the plants that are there, as well as the minerals. It's causing a lot of degeneration of statuary and of the rocks in the mountains. And, as our water becomes more and more polluted, we're getting more and more mercury leaking into the water because of the acidity of it. You just can go right across the board and just find hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of damage that is being done to our environment. Well, those very same damages are being done inside of our bodies because we're taking these in. We live in this environment. It's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the food, it's in the soil, and it's in the furniture and the on the walls and the carpeting, and it's in the wrap that they put our food in and the cans that we can them in, and you just go on. It's almost impossible for the average person to escape these toxins. And so the body has this tremendous addition. And one of the things that they're finding about the synthetic chemicals is that it takes minute, just very, very tiny amounts to have a really significant impact on the body. And so the body's going to want to get rid of these as well. Again, if the glutathione levels were not adequate to take care of our own healthy waste products and unable to take care of the waste products of disease, then it's really obvious that, it's not going to be adequate to take care of the heavy burden of synthetic chemicals that are coming in as well. And so, and the same thing can be said about the glyconutrient antenna. If we don't have enough glyconutrient antenna to take care of our own healthy waste products, and when our body's working properly, we're going to be much less able to take care of the waste products of disease, and even less able than to take care of the synthetic toxins that come in. And so the body has this tremendous ability, if it has the communications that it needs, it has a tremendous ability to cleanse the body of toxins. And it may be from inside the cells, and it may be from between the cells. So both of these are very important. What is detoxification like? How does the body do that job? The cells will move the toxins out from themselves, and they dump them into the bloodstream. You have to remember that the blood vessels become tinier and tinier and tinier until they are so small that they can only carry one bent over red blood cell at a time, and that is where the actual transfer of oxygen and nutrients goes into the cells, and where the toxins go out. And so they're dumped into the bloodstream at that point. And while they're in our bloodstream, we may notice the symptoms of those toxins in our system. The most common things that people tell me that they can sense is they feel tired or headachy or have a kind of upset stomach or muscle and joint pain, a low-grade fever, and grumpy, sometimes notice mood swings. Just depends on what the body is getting rid of at the time. And the body has its own priority system. It will get rid of the most damaging things first. And many times there are things that we're unaware are there. But if the body is prioritizing by the most damaging, you can be assured that if your body is getting rid of it, it's because it's an absolutely necessary process for our health. This is something to be very excited about because we've got to get rid of them. It's like emptying the house been full of trash for who knows how many years. And so the body is all excited about this new opportunity. Now my cells can communicate, and also the liver, now that it's functioning properly, because they're making more glutathione. And it's just a tremendous burden that the body can be freed of once it can start getting rid of those toxins. And then how does the body get rid of it? I mean, it's putting your body in my bloodstream. Uh-huh. Well, and we want to get it out, right? And there are five ways the body does that that are, most commonly noticed. I'm sure there are other ways as well we could go into, but it goes out to the bowel, the feminine drainage, the urine, the perspiration through the skin, and the nasal drainage. And I can just briefly mention a little bit about those. What is going out will change the color, the texture, the odor, and sometimes the function of those areas of the body temporarily. You may notice that the bowels are different color, different texture, stronger odor, foul odor. Chemically, people will smell chemical smells sometimes, and the body may be in such a rush to get rid of it that it may be much more frequent than usual or even some diarrhea. And you may notice some itching or burning on the outside, those delicate mucous membranes. These are very irritating chemicals that we're telling people that they are damaging the cells, and yet when they irritate them, when they feel irritation, they're actually feeling the damage to the cells. Then they get all upset. No, this is what's happening on the inside. Aren't you glad they're going out? We've got to get rid of these things if we're going to be healthy. And one thing that we can do is just keep our cleansing wipes and some aloe vera gel handy and keep ourselves clean and protected. Feminine drainage the same way, more than usual, different color, different texture, different odor, foul odor, chemical odor, different colors many times are alarming because people don't realize that this is what the body is so excited to do. This is a natural process that just goes on when the body has the right nutrients. Urine. The body has a lot of toxins that naturally go out through the urine. And that's what makes it yellow. That's what gives it the urine smell. That is why we have urine in the first place. And when the body is getting rid of certain toxins, some of them will go out that way. So we may notice that there again is more urine than usual, a change in color, change in odor, and maybe darker than usual. And remember, again, these are damaging chemicals the body's getting rid of. And so the bladder may become irritated. It's kind of a holding tank, and as the urine collects in there, it may say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I want to get rid of these things, and we're going to go to the bathroom now. And so you find yourself going to the restroom more frequently than usual. And this is a good thing. Your body is getting rid of these really nasty and sometimes deadly chemicals. So again, you may find irritation. You know, the cleansing wipes and the aloe vera gel can come in handy again. When they go out through the skin, chemicals can reabsorb back in if they're left there. And so we want to be sure we bathe frequently, we change our clothes, because the chemicals, the toxins will collect in the clothing, or they'll collect in our bedding during the night. And so it's important that we change the bedding. Now, I'm not recommending you change your entire bed every day and wash the whole thing and put it back together again at night. That just sounds overwhelming to me. And so what we have found that we can do is take an extra sheet, fold it in half lengthwise, tuck it in the covers, and sleep between those two halves of the sheet during the time that you're cleansing. And just pull it out at night, in the morning, throw it in the wash, and then that night dry it and put it back on the bed. Some people hang it up to dry through the day while they're gone, whatever works for you. And we have a real simple way to take care of that then. As it's going out to the skin, we may have itchy, burny feelings, just like other places of the body. Remember, that's giving you an indication of how nasty these toxins are. Also, some people have skin eruptions, of pimples, a rash, some hives, and that sort of thing happens occasionally. And again, that's fine. That's part of the body's working to get these things out of it. And so again, if you need to, the cleansing wipes, the aloe vera gel, all these things can be comforting. The other place I mentioned was a nasal drainage, and you can be thoroughly convinced you've got a cold or allergies, and you're saying, how did that happen? And it can even give you that little red irritated thing you get, you know, the area that you get on your nose, because again, these are irritating, cell damaging toxins. So we can start getting some of the chemicals out that way. I just would encourage people to not swallow that nasal drainage, because you're just putting those chemicals, those waste products, toxins, right back into your system again, and you have to start all over getting rid of them. That just doesn't appeal to me, and I don't think the body likes it either. Again, you can keep it, the cleansing wipes and the aloe vera gel to protect that area, and just use your tissues to get rid of it. Now, we talked about free radicals and free radical damage to the cells while these toxins are in the body. When the toxins are going out, the symptoms that we have are those free radicals that are moving around now, doing damage to the cells. And so it's really important to be sure that while the body is cleansing, that we are providing an abundance of antioxidants to the body so that it can help to protect those tissues from damage. And please be sure that you are getting an antioxidant that is in the plant material so that you're not just getting, getting it sucked in and dumped out again over a period of 1 to 3 hours, but that you have coverage all day. And you can take your antioxidant morning and evening and have 24-hour coverage. People often ask, well, how long does it take? Well, it varies. It depends on the person. Sometimes a few hours, sometimes a few days, and on rare occasions longer, but that's pretty typical of, a few hours to a few days. And we can we can tell sometimes how we feel that this is different than another time that our body got rid of toxins. And it's probably because the body's getting rid of a different kind of toxin.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's funny that you were mentioning the person that you worked with, because I've also encountered folks who have gone through chelation therapy, you know, which is obviously a kind of a more of a almost a mechanically induced detoxification. It was developed in the 1940s, and it, you know, draws certain chemicals out through their urine, so it's going through their kidneys. And even these people, when they then begin to change their diet and improve, you know, supplementation, add glyconutrients, add, you know, effective antioxidants into their diet, they actually noticed symptoms of these kind of detox events or these correcting events as their body was getting rid of toxins that they had kind of assumed that were already being taken care of. So it's, you know, it's I think it's interesting to kind of consider that some of these toxins live in areas or are stored or held up in areas where maybe some of these kind of what are becoming traditional therapies, although there are some who still call chelation a little bit radical and unorthodox, there are certainly areas where these toxins can build up that those kinds of processes won't get at. You can give, I suppose, a person all the hydrotherapy in the world, but if the toxins are still held up in the cells elsewhere in their body, that's never really going to get at it, is it?
Yeah, I think that the cells are the only ones that can do the deep cleaning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like the difference between, oh, I got something on my pants, and I rub it off real quickly with a damp cloth versus throwing it in the washing machine.
And in fact, in biochemistry, there's actually a structure that has been identified that is named P-glycoprotein, and that is actually a structure that the cells manufacture out of proteins and glyconutrients, and it is literally a pumping mechanism that draws toxins out of the cells. And this is actually also the structure that has been identified that allows bacteria, when they develop a tolerance to antibiotics, they also use P-glycoprotein to pump those toxic antibiotic chemicals out of their own cells. So kind of interesting how, you know, it all certainly follows a very similar design. But, you know, another thing that we do hear on occasion is some people will experience fatigue. Now, why would that be?
Yes, besides the fact that you may be cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, if you are going through your house and doing a lot of repair, it takes a lot more of your energy to be doing a lot of repair in your house than it does to be sitting down for the evening and enjoying a good dinner and a good book. And once the body begins the repair process, it takes a lot of our energy for that purpose. And we only have so much energy. Even if we are eating properly and so forth, and sleeping properly, there's only a limit. There's just so much there. And so the body has to start prioritizing there. It's kind of like a budget. You have just so much money in the bank, and some of it is in savings, and some of it's in the checking account, let's say. And your budget says you can use so much for food, so much for gas, so much for rent, and so forth. And the body does that, too. And it has to look at how critical is it that we get this part repaired right away. And, you know, look at the energy availability and start using it in the wisest way possible. So, yeah. It's going to be using more for repair. And really, you know, one of the things that is interesting about the body's repair schedule is it sets up its repair schedule without any consideration whatsoever for your calendar. You know, I have had my body kick in to major repair projects at the most inconvenient times, and that's just the way it is. If you want to get well, then you're going to put up with it and find a way to get, you know, done what needs to be done. Another thing that can be very helpful, you know, one thing it is to just experience something. It's something else about supporting the body, assisting it in the process of repair. Because I don't know about you, but I kind of like to get through the repair as quickly as possible so I can see what's going to happen on the other side, see what it was repairing and what's going to work better. And as well as the fact that we can talk about retracing at some point if you like. But, you know, we want this to happen as quickly as possible. None of us likes to stay sick. And so what can we do to support our body through the healing process, through the repair and reconstruction that needs to be done in the body? One of the things is to be sure you're getting the best possible food. Whole grains and fresh fruits and vegetables, and, you know, stay away from the things you know are harmful. Why add a greater burden to the body when it's trying so hard to get things back where they belong? You're giving it extra work to do. And so the harmful things, the hydrogenated fats and the refined sugars and flours and the different chemicals, again, these toxins that we may be putting into our food, the different additives and so forth. You know, give your body the best help you can. Get some moderate exercise if at all possible. And if possible, if you have decent place to do it outside, where you're getting sunlight and fresh air. And another thing that is really important, plenty of water so that it can take nutrients to your cells and the toxins away from them. You know, be sure that you're giving your body abundance of the nutrients that it needs by supplementation. Don't just, you know, fiddle around, you know, with a little bit and tease the body when it's trying to work. And be sure you're getting enough, I mentioned before, enough of the fiber, water-soluble fiber in your diet so that it can help sweep out the toxins the body is producing during the repair process. Because we think, again, okay, there were sources of waste products from healthy metabolism and from disease and from the toxins. Well, when your body is repairing, again, you've seen a construction site. There's all kinds of trash. They haul away huge trucks full. And so the same thing happens with your body. It's a natural, healthy process. And so give your body all the help it can get in that process. Another thing is extra sleep. You need to have that rejuvenation. And so you may want to just turn the TV off and go to bed. Give yourself a little bit of a rest. And if your body is quite fatigued from the repair process, you may want to put off some high-energy tasks, you know, whether you're going to do some work or play, either one. You may want to put those off until your body is past needing that energy, because if you're using it for something else, and your body is not going to be able to use it for construction.
And, you know, it's funny that there actually are some sleep research studies that have shown that if you actually are planning on getting some extra sleep, that it is better to go and sleep early than try to sleep in the next morning. And the reason for that is you'll actually get more REM sleep, which is the kind of sleep that you want, and it's where often your body does a lot of the regeneration and tissue rebuilding. And so, you know, absolutely, like you say, you know, turn off the TV, put down the book, go to bed early instead of planning on sleeping in the morning, and it'll actually benefit you substantially more.
Yes. Those circadian rhythms.
Now, something else that I know you and I have both seen as we've helped folks. You know, sometimes you can take people that you know, they've had a history of taking maybe large amounts of antibiotics, or they've taken you know, some other drug very, you know, significantly that we know may have long-term liver toxicity issues or kidney toxicity issues. And one person will have mild or won't even notice any particular detoxing symptoms or symptoms of their body trying to get rid of stuff. And the other person will have just, you know, horrible fatigue, might even have, you know, funny smelling sweat and the whole gamut. Why is it that two people that appear to be the same can have such just different reactions as their bodies go through these cleansing or correcting processes?
Oh, yes. Well, I think there's probably a few reasons that we could mention, and of course we're not going to probably hit them all. One of the things that I was delighted to hear coming out of the last Glycomics conference they had last autumn was that researchers are discovering that tremendous variation in the way that individuals' bodies work. There's just a lot more than they ever imagined that is different between you and me and the next person. And this means that there are a lot of different things that could be affected, how the cells work, how they work together as tissues, how they react to disease, how they react to different chemicals that come into the body, how able they are to get rid of toxins. And one of the other things that can affect this, besides our own individual uniqueness, is that, yeah, we may have the same diagnosis. You may have the same disease as somebody else. But where you are in that disease process is going to be a little different. How it has affected your body may be a little different. And another little thing that plays in there is that you may have other diseases that you don't even know you've got. Many times with autoimmune conditions, other conditions are in the process of creeping in. It's not unusual to have somebody with an autoimmune diagnosis who has 2, 3, 4, 5 different autoimmune conditions that started creeping up on them. You know, cancer takes 5 to 30 years sometimes to go from it's basically getting a foothold until we experience symptoms. And so we may think that we don't have a condition. What is it, a third of the people who have diabetes don't know it? All these different things that we can have more than one condition going on, and we may not know that they're going on. And yet the body may say, you know what, you're focused on problem A over here, but I'm focused on problem B because it is a whole lot more important for your health and your life than the problem A that you're looking at. And so this is one thing that's really important for us to understand about nutrition is don't become discouraged if it takes longer than you expect for your body to get around to addressing the issue that you're focused on, because there may be something much more critical that it's going to address first. And maybe it's going to be two or three things a whole lot more critical than what you realize is going on. Your body is absolutely focused on keeping you healthy and alive. It's going to pour everything it can into that. And it's going to focus, prioritize, and plan, you might want to say, toward the goal. And what you're experiencing is going to be, you're kind of along for the ride. The body, it knows what it's doing, and it does a terrific job if we give it the nutrients and the other lifestyle support that it needs.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you mentioned something I want to touch on in a minute, but I guess the another area in this kind of realm that we've occasionally seen is when diabetics begin to increase the amount of these nutrients in their body, we're not looking at glucose. And in fact, over time, we tend to see in both type 1 and type 2 diabetics, we actually tend to see their glucose levels actually diminish, which is especially a very good thing in type 2 diabetics. But then sometimes we see a period where it actually curves up, even though they've made no changes in their diet. They're still taking the same amount of, you know, their antioxidants and their vitamins and their glyconutrients. So what's changing inside the body that can cause that sort of thing to happen? It just that can be very perplexing to a lot of folks that have blood sugar issues.
No, that's true. And now we're getting into the retracing situation. One of the really cool things about diabetics is that they have a window into the repair process that the average person doesn't have, mm-hmm. and that is their glucometer readings. Even sometimes long-term, their hemoglobin A1C or the glycosylated hemoglobins that are done like with most people about every 3 months. And the reason that, this is so fascinating for them to be able to see this is because we can get an understanding for everybody about what this repair process is kind of like. You see, when you have diabetes, every cell in the body, type 2 diabetes, every cell in the body has diabetes. This is kind of a system-wide problem, and the body is going to start repairing those cells, replacing those cells, adding glyconutrient antenna where they couldn't have them before, and pushing forward the repair process. So it takes, from the time the glyconutrients are taken into your mouth and used, it's about a four-hour period. They're absorbed and they're used by the body to be put onto the cells where they're needed, and the cells then all of a sudden say, I can do what I've been wanting to do for so long. You know, I've been damaged. I need repair. I haven't been able to get the glucose in because the insulin knocks, 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 and I can't open the door. And the cells get really excited and start doing what they're supposed to be doing. And this is pretty much easy to understand. But then we need to understand this isn't an even, steady process. It doesn't happen the same for everybody. Because cells have different lifetimes. Cells may live anywhere from a few hours to several years. And they're all different ages within those lifetimes. And so as they're being replaced because they're old or because they're damaged or because the body says, wow, there's a lot of damage here. Let's put a bunch of stem cells here and turn them into that kind of tissue so we can get things working faster. This whole process is very uneven, and so we may notice that there is faster repair than slower, then faster than slower, and then sometimes there seems to be a breakthrough where the body can make a tremendous amount of progress all at once. It's almost like the body says, now I've got 8 things here I've got to get ready before I can do the final step. I don't know how many of you have sewn dresses, and it's coming from a woman's point of view, or done some canning, or for guys and women too, if you're going to work on the car, there's a whole bunch of preparation you have to do first before you can actually start working on the engine itself, get it cooled down. You may need to put it up so that you can get at it better. You got to change clothes. You want to put something underneath that you can, you know, either roll around on or lay on. You got to get your tools out. You got to be sure you got the right repair, the right replacement part or fluids or whatever. There's a lot of preparation that needs to be done before you can actually fix the engine. And the same thing is true with the body. The body may have a bunch of stuff it needs to do in preparation for the actual job it needs to do. And when it hits that job, we can see a tremendous breakthrough in changes in the body. So let's go back to diabetes for just a moment here. As the body is taking the glyconutrients in during that approximately four-hour period, diabetics who are checking their blood sugar during that time may notice that it's high one time and low another time and then high and then low, and they're saying, what on earth is going on? Well, you are actually watching this uneven process of the body's repair. And It just amazed me when I finally figured this out, what was going on. And the way that they can tell about the general progress of the construction project is with their hemoglobin A1C. And for those who are on insulin, I would say take some reasonable steps and be sure that before you start on this program, that you go to your doctor and you say, I'm changing my diet. I am getting a lot better nutrition now, and I would like a sliding scale so that as my body improves, that I can adjust my insulin according to your orders. And what they do is they give you, if you don't already have a sliding scale, they can give you a little chart that says if your blood sugar is this point, then you take this much of this kind of insulin. If it's at that point, you take that much of that kind of insulin and so forth. And it's a real simple little chart that you can follow and check your blood sugar and give yourself the proper amount of insulin. I have had a few situations where people have, the second thing I ask people is always check your blood sugar every time before you take your insulin. Don't just assume that you know what it is because your body is going through a change and sometimes it can make some really rapid adjustments. I had a person who was on 80 units of a long-acting insulin and just in a 24-hour period dropped to needing half that much. And I've had this happen a few times. And you can get yourself in trouble because you're not paying attention. It's like going down the road and looking at the car beside you at the, the good-looking person over there instead of looking where you're going, and you can crash. So it's just only reasonable. So just check your blood sugar every time before you take your insulin. They tell you to do that anyway. I can't tell you how long I've been teaching diabetics, diabetic care. And the rule is you always check your blood sugar before you take your insulin. Well, it's now more fun because you're actually going to watch the repair process taking place as you're checking your sugar. Write it all down, and you're going to be able to watch a trend that is really exciting. Back in the days when we had an improving economy, I can remember watching this back in the 70s where they would show a graph on the news of where the economy was and where it had been, say, a year ago or 2 years ago, and it was these zigzags, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But the general trend of the zigzag was upward. Sometimes it went upward faster than other times. But that is exactly what happens with the repair process. And diabetics, like I say, are the lucky ones because they're checking their blood sugar regularly and they can watch the repair of that problem happening right before their eyes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's certainly an important statement to highlight for folks, especially for the diabetics that do have pretty significant concerns about some of the aspects of their bodily fluids, when you do make these kinds of dietary changes, you are increasing the nutrient intake into your body. Your body's going to do some new things as it rebalances. And your doctor actually has procedures for helping you accommodate that with the sliding scale for your insulin. So, it's definitely, and this is something that type 1 and type 2 diabetics can discuss with their doctor, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Anyone who is on insulin especially, because they're going to want to be able to adjust that as they go.
Mm-hmm. And I have actually worked with a couple of people who have done the graphs, and it's been pretty amazing where, they had some days where they had a little bit of a rise and, some days where they actually had some lows that they hadn't experienced in years. And over time, they saw that trend go down further and further. Even though they hadn't made any other changes to their diet, they had actually just all they had done was increase their nutrient intake with these food-based, concentrated supplements. And they were actually seeing these effects right there. They could actually quantify it and put it on a graph and actually see, wow, my body really is going through some changes. It was pretty exciting getting calls from those folks and hearing about it.
And something else is a tip for many, many people. Again, diabetics can see it. The rest of us may feel it or not, but it's best to take your glyconutrients with every meal and at bedtime. Mm-hmm. If you are dealing with these kinds of conditions, because it evens out the whole process a little. If you just dump a whole bunch of it one time a day, then you may notice with diabetics, they may notice their blood sugars going more up and down than they would otherwise. Where if we take small amounts at breakfast, lunch, supper, and bedtime, then we even out that process and we allow the body to have more of a continuous repair than just dumping a bunch of stuff and letting it do all kinds of wild construction as quick as it can and then it doesn't have anything to do the rest of the day. So that's something that many, many people with many different conditions find helpful. But again, diabetics can see it.
Mm-hmm. And So now as we enter the home stretch here of the call tonight, let's touch on something that that you said we were kind of heading into, and that's this concept of retracing. Now, something that I got I heard about recently from someone that I've been working with, they've had some different arthritis in different areas of their body, so different inflammation. They've got some muscle or joint stiffness, and they have some areas that used to bother them years ago, but no longer bother them today. Now, as they begin to add glyconutrients to their diet and some of these other food-based supplements, what they noticed was they noticed an improvement in the inflammation and the stiffness in the joints where they had already had problems. But then one of their feet, where they hadn't had problems in a really long time, that started to cramp up again a little bit. Is this retracing, and what's going on here inside the body?
Yeah, what is going on here? Yeah, now this is a situation in which another group of people actually have more of a window in than the average, and that is with different kinds of arthritis and inflammatory conditions. Not quite as clear of a picture as diabetics do, but when the body starts to repair, it's going to repair old as well as new problems. In fact, sometimes the old problems need to be repaired before the new ones can be. Or sometimes the old problems are actually a bigger concern to the body than the new problems are. Even though the new problems may be a bigger concern to us, there may be an underlying, kind of a fundamental problem that the body needs to take care of first before it can address the one that we're concerned about. And as the body goes through that healing process, there are some areas that it will repair faster than others, either because those tissues are replaceable faster or because it's a higher priority. And so when the body starts repairing that area rapidly, this is when we may re-experience symptoms, and that's what people with inflammatory conditions are more likely to pick up on than somebody who has, say, damage to an organ that doesn't particularly have a nervous system connection to our pain sensors. We may not notice it because we can't feel it. We may not be aware of it until all of a sudden we notice that that is functioning better. And we say, well, how did that happen? Well, the person who has, inflamed joints or damage to the connective tissue of their body. I remember a person who had been gored by a bull and they had damage, to the connective tissue of the knee. And they start to re-experience the symptoms again. And the farmers who are working outside with their hands a great deal in the cold, they will notice this too. And so many times they say, oh, I'm so glad you warned us about this because we got excited instead of upset. Now we know what's going on. And we just re-experience symptoms sometimes when the body is going through a rapid repair, the reconstruction process. Now, why that is still a mystery to me. But it has happened so many thousands of times. People keep on reporting that once they're through that re-experiencing of symptoms, that they have improved function of that area, that, it's very clear what is going on, even though we may not understand exactly why. So it's an exciting thing. You can say, wow, I know my body's working on this or that part because I'm absolutely convinced I'm going backwards. And it really is. It's going to feel like we're absolutely convinced we're going backward. And just be patient. And one of the ways that we talked a little bit about things that we can do to support the body through the cleansing process, how do we support it through retracing? Well, think about it. If you have sped up the construction schedule, you're going to need more building materials, because you're going to be using them up faster, and the building materials of the body are our nutrients. And so I've started having people say, yeah, it works a lot if we start increasing the glyconutrients that we're providing to our body, and sometimes other nutrients as well, that our body's able to get through that rapid construction process faster, and we can see the improved function sooner. Now, this is all cool, you know? So, number one, if you start retracing, realize the exciting thing that's happening. Number two, many people keep an extra jar of the glyconutrients around just for the purpose of bulking up when they start re-experiencing symptoms. And they'll take double, triple, quadruple. I've actually known people to take half a jar or an entire jar in a day. Now, most people don't need to do that, but there have been some really cool stories come out of people who have taken a fourth, a half, three quarters, or a whole jar in a day and really give their body the nutrients it needs to do some rapid repair. Again, remember, when you're doing rapid repair, you're producing a lot of waste products again, and you need to be sure that you're taking taking enough water and omega-3 fatty acids. Be sure you're taking your antioxidants so that you can assist your body in that whole process. Because much of the time, some of the discomfort, I think that, and this is my just observation, is that much of the time, what we're experiencing may actually be a buildup of toxins. Because people who are retracing and they're complaining to me about it, I ask them, well, how much water are you drinking? Are you drinking extra water? Are you getting enough or a little more than you usually do? Are you getting your omega-3 fatty acids in there? Are you getting enough glyconutrients? Much of the time, it appears that some of that return of symptoms you may be experiencing may just be buildup of toxins we're not assisting the body enough in getting rid of.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it that some people can benefit by taking more glyconutrients, or really more of any kind of nutrient for that matter, when, you know, on the side of the tub, there's a serving size? I mean, shouldn't that be all I need? Susan? I think somebody's phone died. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
I just got dropped.
That's modern technology for you.
I would like to hear that question again.
Oh, well, hey, wouldn't we all?
I heard it. How come is it some
people
disappeared?
Well, the question was, how come some people seem to benefit by taking larger amounts of glyconutrients when, the side of the tub, it's got a serving suggestion on the side there? I mean, shouldn't that be enough for everybody?
Yes. This is kind of interesting because what the law requires the different producers of nutrients to do is to put a minimum amount on the packaging. And that is an important thing, I suppose. Actually, it's more important to understand the principles of nutrition. And so here we go, all three of them that are really applying to what we're talking about here. First of all, we know that we are what we eat. Those are the building materials of the body. Air and water provide two or three or four or whatever, but all the rest of the nutrients and all their abundance comes from the nutrients that are supposed to be in our food and that we often have to supply by supplements now. But that's the first rule. The first law of nutrition, you might want to say, is we are what we eat. The second thing is we need to provide all the parts. We can't just provide one part and expect it to become all the others. And so we need to be sure we're supplementing the body with all of what it's not getting enough of. And I can liken this a little bit to a house. Our house might be our body, or you might be talking about individual cells. But when you build a house, you don't just build it from bricks. You got to have the foundation. You need the framework, the outside, maybe the bricks, the windows, the roofing. And then you've got electrical system and a heating system and a plumbing system. And you can't make all this out of bricks. And so just taking one kind of nutrient isn't going to be enough. The cells need all the different kinds of nutrients for all the different jobs they have to do. And then we come to the third one, which is we have to provide enough. If you have a large building project going on and it requires semi-loads of materials in order to do the job, hiring one pickup truck is not going to do the trick. And this is the way it works with our body. The nutrients that our body needs have to be provided in abundance in order for the body to be able to do its job. How frustrating to know the job needs to be done, but you can't do it because you haven't got what it takes. You don't have the materials. And that's what the body is up against if we don't provide enough. And so when you are using nutrients, we have to use the word deficiency. Now, that's not a term you hear much when you're talking about using medications. There isn't a deficiency of a medication. We have to take enough in order to get the manipulation of the cells so that we can get rid of symptoms, but it's not a deficiency. When we're dealing with nutrition, deficiency becomes a very important term. It's like I've got a bucket, and how full is my bucket? It's supposed to be all the way full, but it may be only half full. I don't have enough. And how big is the hole in the bottom? How quickly am I losing the stuff in the bucket? If you're trying to take water in a bucket with a big hole, you're going to have a real problem. Whereas if you have a small hole, you're going to be able to get back and forth faster. So how much does my body need? How deficient am I? How quickly is my body using up this nutrient? And so if my body is kicking into a high-speed repair, it's going to need a whole lot more of the nutrients. And so if we provide more of the glyconutrients, then we know that we get better faster. So how does this apply to your question? Again, how much damage is done to your body may not have anything to do with your diagnosis. We have to look at how long you had the diagnosis, how aggressive that particular condition is, how much damage has been done to your body. If you have a very mild form of a disease that's only been around for a short time, you're not going to have a lot of damage. But if you have a very aggressive form of that disease that's been there a long time and there's a lot of damage, then you need a whole lot of building materials. And if you have a potentially life-threatening condition, then you need to be able to give your body what is required to take care of it as quickly as possible. Just give it all the glyconutrients that it needs in order to do its task, and all the other nutrients that your body needs as well. Now, this goes back again to what we mentioned earlier, in addition to this, is that you may not know exactly what's going on. You know, one person tells us that the only way to be absolutely positive of all the conditions you have is to have an autopsy. And that's not a real popular test for living people. So we don't know what all is going on. Even the doctor doing extensive testing doesn't always know all the things that are going on in the body. And so you're focused on this problem, and your body's going to be focused on perhaps something that's more life-threatening or a job that requires a great deal of nutrients to fix. And so you may say, you know what, I'm thinking I'm taking enough for my body to be able to fix this problem. How comes I'm not getting the results I expect? It may very well be because your body needs more to take care of construction projects you're not aware of.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, if we took then this law of appropriate support for nutrition, and if we applied that to water, I think it would be very obvious to a lot of people. If you're really, really thirsty, you need more water. And if you're not so thirsty, you probably don't need as much water. But then, if you are, for example, someone who drinks a lot of intakes a lot of caffeine into your system, caffeine is a diuretic. It drives a lot of water out of your body by constantly draining your kidneys. You're someone who's going to need to intake more water than the average person because you're doing things to your body that's actually causing a greater challenge to keep you hydrated.
Yes. or even good things, you know, because when I go out and ride my bike, I'm breathing deeply of dry air. And I need more water because I'm breathing off more air. So if my body, if I'm even doing something healthful to my body that expends more of these nutrients, which exercise does, you know, then, yeah, that's an excellent analogy.
Absolutely. In fact, I guess, you know, another one just to throw out there for trivia's sake is intensive exercise actually depletes vitamin E stores. And so that can certainly increase our need for antioxidants. But one thing that we've also seen just even from recent research being published is there's definitely a significant and even now published difference between the effects of synthetic vitamin E's and natural vitamin E's that are either found in foods or food concentrates, that is supplements, that contain vitamin E. So if we're doing things that are increasing our body's need for just vitamin E as an antioxidant, we may need more than the average dose or the average serving size, and we need something that's appropriate to our body's condition and the situation that we're putting it through.
Absolutely.
Well, gosh, Susan, it's the hour has just zipped on by. You know, it's been great to have this chat with you tonight about you know, these detoxing, cleansing responses, retracing. I know these are things that people often are asking questions about, and so it was nice to spend a whole hour tonight just talking about those things. And I hope everybody on the call tonight has learned some new things or gotten some knowledge that maybe they can help other people with. Again, we're not suggesting that anybody go out there and self-diagnose themselves. We're not telling you that if you're clutching your chest, you ought to grab some vitamins or take a swig on water. You know, obviously, if you need emergency care, you should be dialing 911 in the U.S. or whatever's appropriate in the country you're calling from. But we also should recognize that the body does have processes that it goes through. If I was to break my arm, it would hurt every day as it's healing. Even though it's getting better every day, it's the actual healing process, if I want it to happen, isn't always peaches and cream, but it's certainly a process that I think if we understand what it is, if we really have an understanding of what our bodies are supposed to be doing in a normal situation, I think that gives us a lot of things to look forward to. And even though maybe sometimes these events might not be the most pleasant for some people if they happen to notice a detoxing event, a cleansing reaction, or retracing, it's actually good news because it's actually an indication that our body is doing something that it hadn't been doing before.
Absolutely. Too good to be heard, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. And so thanks again for coming on with us tonight, Susan. And thank you, everybody out there, for joining us this evening. And, you know, think about some of the things that you've learned tonight. And, you know, if there are people out there that you know that need to learn more and have a better understanding about their bodies so that they can take better responsibility for their health and support their own bodies, especially in good partnership with your doctor, if you are currently under care because you do have a condition. You know, these are things that you can do to actually help make your doctor's job easier. They're certainly going to focus on doing the things to bring you comfort today, but the more good things that you can do for your body, the more good health you can actually bring to yourself. And that's going to be a fantastic thing for you. And you know, honestly, your doctor is not going to complain to see you healthy. And that's, I think, a fantastic thing. And so please join us again next Sunday evening at the same time. And we'll pick up with some more of these topics and talk more about health and wellness and really try to help people out there that are on this call tonight or those you know and love who you might bring on as a guest on a future call to really get the arsenal and get those tools and get that knowledge so that you can apply it and achieve what is your own potential for optimal health. So, Susan, thanks again.
Thank you.
And everyone out there, thank you, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.